Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Our scripture reading this morning, first scripture reading, is from the book of Isaiah and the book of Psalms. The prophet Isaiah declares in this morning's excerpt from chapter 61 that there is great joy when we know and do what is right. This scripture was powerful in the time when the Babylonian exile was over and the Hebrew people needed the words to express their praise and thanks. And it was powerful when Jesus used these same words to refer to the heart of the purpose of his ministry. Salvation from oppression and the joy of God continue to proceed through the ages to hand in hand. Hear these words from the prophet. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display his glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God. The Psalms are also written in the same time period, some poems of lament from exile, and some written in the style of praise after the exile is over. Psalm 126 refers to the almost unbelievable joy of returning to the homeland. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. And we rejoiced. Luke is the gospel author we draw from this week. The account of Mary visiting Elizabeth is the context for a description of joy that resides even in the midst of uncertainty and possible harm to Mary, the young pregnant woman at the margins of society. She believes with her whole heart that the child within her womb is just as the angel has declared, a gift from God, of God, the holiest of matter. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowly state of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Indeed, his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has come to the aid of his child Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever.
Will you pray with me? Holy God of joy, we seek your presence in these darkening days. We seek a calm within and an absence of conflict between peoples and nations. But more deeply, we seek the deep and abiding joy that will only come through justice of your kingdom. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. This past spring, in parts of the California wilderness, there was a rare super bloom. It's an event that could be seen from space. Thousands of people arrived to snap images for their Instagram and their Facebook pages and be awed by the sight of a once dusty brown hills covered with color upon color upon color. When the desert blooms, it blooms abundantly. Not half-heartedly, not hidden in some lonesome valley. For a few brilliant weeks, the world is transformed into one living Van Gogh landscape. So what are the elements that lead to a rare superbloom? Well, it's prolonged dormancy. Many wildflower seeds must remain asleep through many seasons and decide that they need to wake up at roughly the same time after a long hibernation. This bloom is also helped by a long rainy season followed by an unusually cold winter to lock all of that moisture in. Harsh, undesirable conditions over many years seem to have paved the way for this stunning explosion of a super bloom. Joy blooms out of the hardship. This week we are looking at our need for joy. Divine joy is steadfast and faithful. It's a joy that courses through the cosmos, nurturing and sustaining life, regardless of our attention to it. It's a joy that can be tapped into when we seem to be in the bleak midwinter. So how do you tap into this divine joy and join Mary in singing a song of joy in a time like this? How do you sing praise and thanksgiving songs, lift your voices, when much of your life seems worthy of lament and intercession? How can you be present with joy if you're struggling to find it yourself? Thankfully, Mary can show the way. Man, Mary's in a world of trouble, isn't she? A young teenager, pregnant, not married. Today, teenager getting pregnant, it'd be a small scandal. Back then, earth-shattering. 2 millennia of reading this story has set it in stone for us. We forget that these people aren't the characters we see in nativity artwork. Beautiful clothes, sporting halos. Mary's a real person, a real girl. And Mary's pregnancy would have been a disappointment to everyone in her hometown, especially to her parents and her fiancé. So naturally, she wanted to get out of town. Maybe she was even sent away. Where should Mary go? Where else but her cool cousin Elizabeth? And when she gets there, she is welcomed with open arms. She does not find judgment or funny looks or questions as to what she has done. Instead, she is met with joy and a blessing. Oh, Mary, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. I imagine Mary's hearing those words and feeling the relief wash over her, like cool water on a hot day. After feeling shame, after feeling disappointment to all who she cared about, she was declared to be a blessing. And so was the child within her. And so along with that relief came a little bit of courage, a little bit of moxie. Courage to believe that maybe things would be okay. Courage to believe that maybe the angel was right, and that God was, or and that this was God's child that she was carrying. Courage to have faith. For sure, yeah, she was a little frightened still. I mean, wouldn't you be? She was giving birth to God incarnate. God coming into the world to do new things in a new way. She was scared by the prospect of what would come, yet marveling at the news that it was actually going to happen. And so Mary sings out with unabashed joy. God is great. God has done great things and it will do great things. Holy is our God. Now, I don't know about you, but I find it really hard to sing songs of joy when everything is falling apart around me. And really, that's what was happening to Mary. It takes a lot of courage to sing a joyful song when there are just so many questions. In the middle of all of her trouble and terror, Mary spoke holy words. It's one thing to accept words spoken with love, but it's quite another to accept tragedy. But our response should be the same, to speak the holy into it. We should have the same courage that Mary possesses when she breathes a holy word into her situation. Now, what do I mean by speaking the holy into a situation? It's something like that old saying, whatever the situation, give thanks. I'm not saying we thank God for our troubles, but speak about what God will do through your troubles. I want to be careful with, make sure that you're understanding that. I don't think that God is causing your troubles. That's not the case. I don't believe in a God who will intentionally cause us pain, who will make us suffer, who lets bad things happen. That's not my experience with God. The God I know, the God I love, the God I praise is a God who is there with us in all of our trials and tribulations. What I'm saying is maybe we need to take a page out of Mary's book and gather up the courage to talk about what God is doing and what God will do as a way to help us understand what is happening. It's a bold move, I know, but I don't think that Mary was the meek and mild woman that 2,000 years of storytelling has depicted. I think Mary was a bold teenager with a lot of guts to do what she did and say what she did. It's bold to talk about a God capable of upending societies and governments, a God who inverts the usual state of affairs. It's bold to insist that this powerful and merciful God isn't merely an abstraction. This God is active in her current circumstances. Mary names her own obscure and probably shameful pregnancy as this piece in a larger worldwide drama. Simply put, Mary speaks boldly about God's activity in her life. She speaks the holy into her situation. It takes courage to sing songs of joy in the middle of great suffering. Joy is different than being told in the midst of our grief and suffering that God doesn't give you more than you can handle. Well, for one, that's just a load of total codswallop. You know, that's not how God works. Being present with God, or being present with joy, is about celebrating what God is doing in our lives. Being present with joy is about speaking words of love and joy into places of suffering in such a way that it honors the depth of our human feelings and the all-encompassing love of God. Being present with joy is speaking holy into our lives. Can we have the courage, like Mary, speak the holy into our lives? Sing of joy through our tears at what God has done and is doing and will be doing in our lives and in our world. In the end, Mary's song remains outrageous. When the Gospel of Luke ends, the powerful remain on their thrones and the rich have not been left empty. No historical event unambiguously confirms her claims. They remain statements of faith. The season of Advent is like this for Christians. It's a season of standing up against the way things are. Advent rejects the assumption that humanity remains trapped in a never-ending decline. Christians, well, at least those of us here in the Northern Hemisphere, light candles against the expanding December night. Our tiny, vulnerable flame poses no threat to winter's natural wildness. But we light them anyway, because they do declare a different reality to come. That's being present with joy. How will you find ways to be present with joy this season?